everybody. Welcome to or welcome back to your Mixed Reality Podcast. I'm your host, Lily Tompe, and thank you for joining me on episode 1 of season 2. Guys, I've missed you. It's been so long. We're going to do a little catch up in a little bit. But if you're new here, I just want to tell you a little bit about myself, a little bit about Remixed Reality, and then we're going to catch up and kind of talk about what this season is going to be all about. All right, are you ready? Yes. Okay. So, like I said, my name is Lily. I'm 20 years old. I turned 21 at the end of this year, and I'm originally from San Diego, California, but I go to school out in Irvine. And Remixed Reality Podcast was something that I wanted to start since I was a little girl. I was 13, and I would record little episodes on my computer as well as my phone, some of them with my really good friend, and we would just yap and we would talk about life, and we felt like we had some sort of stories to tell. We had some things that we could reflect on. We had advice to give. And we just really had a great time in doing that. And from there, it really inspired me to pursue this podcast. And like I said, it's something I've wanted to do since I was really young. And I finally decided last year to go ahead, well, technically this year, but last year to go ahead and launch Remixed Reality Podcast. And it's been such a joy to be a part of. I was like, Lily, what does Remixed Reality mean? What does that mean? And I'm going to tell you a little bit about that. So I was in the midst of me recording one of my episodes. I think I was a little bit older at this point. I was recording an episode talking about dreaming big dreams, right? About how we should all have this like childlike faith, right? When it comes to thinking about our future and what we want that to look like. But oftentimes our circumstances will tell us that our dreams and the things that we want to do in life are not possible based on the cards that life handed to you or whatever the case is. I essentially in that episode that I recorded, and if I can find it one day, I want to like, you know, maybe release just a snippet of it or something. I think in the midst of all that, we get discouraged, right? And I kind of wanted to dismantle that notion, and I truly believe that we have the power to create the life that we want. And I was encouraging my non-existent listeners back then to get back to that state of when you were a child. And I shared a story of that. But the full story of Remixed Reality and all that stuff is in episode 1 of season 1. So if you're new here, I would encourage you to go listen to the first 30 minutes or so of that podcast just to get the full vision. But essentially, yeah, we're conditioned to believe the lie that our current life is what our future is going to look like. And I don't necessarily believe that. And so this podcast is all about, you know, learning and growing from our past, looking forward in our future, breaking old mindsets, learning from other people's experiences, just overall becoming a better person, becoming a person who you're going to be proud of currently and you're going to be proud of in the future, but also just equipping you with the tools and the mindsets and the lessons to create that life that you want instead of staying trapped in. And so yeah, the whole purpose is just start now, right? Like you want to start building that life now. You don't want to, you know, wait until later in life and wish that you would have started earlier. I think this whole shifting your mindset and stepping into the life that you want can start right now. And so that's what Remixed Reality Podcast is about. But additionally, outside of that, I think season 1, we started to build such a beautiful community. I loved getting text messages from you guys or DMs about the podcast, people who I was never really close with in high school reaching out to me. And I do appreciate you guys so, so much. And I love that community aspect. I think I've had a good, like a pretty decent, you know, I've had a great time interacting with you guys, but I somehow want to create the community that interacts with each other as well. So interact with the Instagram posts. Maybe we'll make a little, you know, group chat, a channel. We can talk about the episodes. We can talk about whatever you guys are going through in life. You need advice. You need somebody to listen to. I'm a big fan of voice memos, probably why I started a podcast. And so, hey, if something crazy happens in my day, I might pop into the Remixed Reality group chat. If we create one day, we'll talk about it. You guys give me advice. It's like, I want to interact with you guys a lot more. I know we had a few segments in which you guys were able to submit stuff, and we are definitely going to continue doing that this year. But I really want to make sure that it's not just me, you know, talking. I'm about to get into a little bit more details of what the season is going to look like. But I really do think that, you know, creating the life that we want also requires some level of collaboration with others, whether it's like actually collaborating with people or also just learning from their experiences and their stories. So that's kind of the purpose of this. And so I really want to build that community even more. So make sure you're following the Remixed Reality Instagram. That way you can stay plugged in and connected. And yeah, you just get a little bit of a gist of what it means to be part of the Remixed Reality family. So I really want to continue to build this. And I want to say thank you guys so much for those of you guys who interact and are excited to be part of this community. I'm very excited. And I can't wait to meet more of you guys. So follow the Instagram if you have Instagram. It's Remixed Reality Podcast. Thank you. Yes, so community is going to be a huge part of this. Speaking of community, right? I've kind of hinted at this a little bit, but I kind of hinted on this. If you follow Instagram, you already know that we are having guests this season. I've already recorded a couple episodes with some of the guests, and I'm very excited. I think the people who are coming on the pod all have something in their story or who they are as a person that I just admire, and I've learned so much from, or I am continuing to learn so much from. Some people I'm super close with, some people I don't have the deepest relationship with them, but I do know a part of their story, and something about them is captivating and I think would be really great to bring onto the podcast. And I think that their life in many ways exemplifies the vision of Remix Related Podcast. So I'm very, very excited for that. So stay tuned. I don't know, maybe like the next episode or something. I don't know. You'll just have to wait and see. One thing I was going to say is some things that I said in season one got me in a little bit of trouble. Okay. But I think if you didn't like me last season, you're probably not going to like me a little bit more, because I'm going to get into it later. But I've just come to a case in which I'm just like, okay, I'm going to say the truth. And if you don't like it, then, you know, it's okay. But yes, season two is going to be great. It's going to be bigger and better than ever. And so thank you guys. All right. So speaking of season two, I feel like every good, you know, thing has a title in some ways, right? So the title of season two is going to be The Becoming Era. So essentially it's how we become, not just who we are or what we've healed from, but what we're growing into. It's going to be a season of more vulnerability. You know, I said that there's going to be more guests on this podcast. Some of them have gone through some pretty intense things, and so some of them will be talking about their experiences and what they've learned from that and stuff like that. So it will be a season that's a little bit more vulnerable, but I think that's a huge aspect of what we need as a society. I think it's really easy to get caught up in the daily tasks of life and stuff like that and forget that at the end of the day, we're all just humans, that we've all been through something. And I think that I could literally have a stranger on the street come on Remix Reality podcast and they would have something to share. I think we all have such a unique story. So I'm very excited for that. But yeah, so that is it. This is the Becoming Era. So there's going to be new things. I don't know. But I really would recommend tuning into the Instagram, because I don't know. I heard maybe we're going to be doing some giveaways or something. I don't know. I'm very excited for it this season, if you can't tell. All right. All right. So where have you been, Lily? What are you doing? Oh, my gosh. What? You've been gone for months. Right. Let me tell you. So I think I hinted at this. I don't know if I ever flat out said it last season, but what I was doing from literally the start of Remix Reality podcast to the end of season one was I was planning on studying abroad. So I was doing my paperwork, I was doing my visas, I was doing everything, and I didn't say anything because my plans were literally still up in the air until, I'm not even kidding, like 2 weeks before I left. But everything got settled and figured out. So I am currently abroad, and I will be until December, the end of December. And I'm going to tell you guys a little bit about that, where I am, how I'm doing, what this experience has been like. And we're really just going to catch up for a little bit, if that's okay. All right. Are you guys ready? Get your popcorn. I don't know what you've been doing. I don't know what you've been up to. But yeah, so I am currently in Madrid, Spain. Yes. Yes, guys, I am in Spain. I was between Spain and Italy. I really wanted to go somewhere in Europe, but I ended up going with Spain. I don't know a lick of Italian. And I was like, okay, that could be a problem. And my Spanish isn't the most, like, you know, proficient. I did 3 years in high school, but I am somewhat able to get around. And I feel like if I was in Italy, I probably wouldn't understand anything. So I did end up coming to Spain. I would say my Spanish is getting better. I'm understanding more. It is a different type of Spanish, though. So there are words like they don't say baños here, and I had never heard that before. So yeah, I've been learning a lot more about the language and the culture and the people. I think one of the most beautiful aspects of Spain, well, a few things. One, I would say they're very family oriented in many aspects. I will walk, you know, routes every single day. Or this one, I'm going to do the same things and see the same families with their kids going on walks, taking them to school. And just the level of joy that everybody has on their face, I think, is something that you don't really see that often in the U.S. Not to compare, but I think even just going through my daily routine and, like, seeing people live their lives and people of all ages, like, literally where I live in Madrid, it's like there's a bunch of people, all age groups, older people, younger people, very young kids. And it's just so beautiful to see them, like, go through life and enjoy life and the different customs and traditions that they all have. I think has put like a level of hope in me, if that makes sense. Like, this could be the norm. I think seeing that makes me in many ways want to build that for my future. And so that's been something that's really, really beautiful. So I think this, the familial aspect of things is great. Another thing is, like, in Spain, kids usually stay with their, live with their parents for a lot longer than they do in the US, till like late 20s and all that stuff. So it's very rare that, you know, there's like a very small household. It's usually all the kids and the parents until they like get married and are in their late 20s and stuff like that. So yeah, you see people, and they're just also like, just like the love that they have for each other, I think is something that's very beautiful. Just seeing people that they know, they see on their daily commute and stuff like that. This is so random, but I was in the gym the other day, and this lady, every single, we go to the gym at the same time, like one day a week, right? Because my schedule changes. And so I only see her like once a week, because I go at a different time, she goes at a different time. But every single time I see her, every time she walks in the locker room, she always greets everybody. And she just brings such like an energy and a life. And I feel like it's sad, but like, you don't really see that much joy. Maybe I'm just not in like, maybe I'm just surrounded by sad people, but I feel like that joy that people have just to like be in other people's presence and all that stuff, I think is something that's really opened my eyes and made me appreciate connection and stuff a lot more. And I think if you're like overly kind to people, it's something that's very odd. I mean, I will say it's also kind of a thing here too. Like, I mean, like in some instances, especially on college campuses, like smiling at a stranger isn't the craziest thing, but like here it's like, it might be a little bit crazy. But yeah, just how people interact with each other, I think is very, very beautiful. The other day I was walking home and I passed by this, it was like two grandparents and their grandson, and he like looked at me and he was smiling, and then he started like pointing at me and he was saying stuff like, he was like, oh, like he was speaking Spanish and he was like smiling and I was like waving and I was like, how are you, like, and all this stuff. And just the amount of joy that everybody had, like the grandparents were like, oh, is that your friend? Like, he was probably like two, if that. And it was just so cute. And I was like, oh, I don't know, it just gives me so much joy and stuff like that, just thinking about the lives that these kids get to live. They're surrounded by so much love. And so, like I said, that's something I want to build one day if I become a mother. But yeah, another thing I really want to emphasize has been, that's brought me so much joy, is the buildings here are beautiful. Literally gorgeous. Everywhere you go, so stunning. And I'm in awe. I was visiting my dad the other day. I was literally walking to the train station. He was like, wow, the buildings are so nice. I'm like, yes. Like, that, I don't know, something about the apartments stacked on top of businesses, it just brings me, I don't know why. I'm like, oh, it's so cute. It's like everything's so connected and together. And the buildings are so gorgeous. You can tell they took time on it. There's a lot of old buildings, but it's like, even though they're old, it's like there's so much character in them. And don't even get me started. I went to like different parts of Spain and was able to see like the churches and the mosques, and they're stunning. And so that's one thing that brings me so much joy every day. But yeah, so there are joyous aspects of living here. My sister, what actually flipped my perspective is, she had talked to me a couple weeks ago because I wasn't having the greatest time when I first got here. It had been like a month and a half, but we'll get to that in a second. But one thing that she said was, like, I'm hearing a lot of negative, right? Like, I'm hearing you complain a lot. And I know you didn't just move across the country to complain, or something along those lines. And I was humbled at first. I was like, it kind of stung a little bit, but then I realized she's right. And I had defaulted to a place of just complaining, right? There was stuff to complain about. But I think her saying that, although I didn't like it in the moment, because I was like, you know, maybe text me this tomorrow because I'm complaining about something that bothered me. But I think hearing that was a reality check that I needed, that even if there's moments that aren't the greatest, then, you know, you'll still have your moments of joy. So finding the joy in the midst of the chaos and the loneliness and stuff like that has been very important. But yeah, so I feel like I can't just be like, oh my gosh, it's all sunshine and rainbows. I think there's definitely some, you know, I don't want to say negative aspects, but things that are requiring me to grow and adapt being here. I would say one thing is, there's overall in some aspects like a lack of acceptance. I knew this coming into Europe in general. I knew this coming to Spain, and I knew that there would be like risk of racism and like prejudice and stuff like that. But I'm also from America, so I was like, okay, like, it can't be, you know, it can't be that bad. And there's been a few instances, actually one happened yesterday, in which I was like, okay, I understand what people are saying. And it is a little bit disheartening, obviously, not always feeling safe or not always feeling secure or always feeling like you're standing out. But I think it also has given me like a level of patience. I don't know how to explain. Like, I think people are very quick to judge you just based on the color of your skin or your physical appearance and stuff like that, and not like who you are, if that makes sense. But I think one thing that has taught me is like, I don't really need to explain myself to anybody. I don't need to prove my worthiness or anything like that to people. And I know people are gonna hate. It's fine, whatever. But yeah, I think it's been an interesting experience, to say the least. But I also know that there's people and like friends that I've talked to that have unfortunately like had it worse than me. And I'm not trying to compare situations or things like that, because I know it sucks for everybody. But yeah, I know they haven't had the greatest experience. And so in a sense, it's made me feel less alone, knowing that they are also struggling and knowing that racism and stuff that they're experiencing isn't just like an isolated event for me, and it's very common. And like I said, I knew this going into the year. But yeah, I'm safe, I'm happy, I'm healthy, and so I think that's the biggest thing that I could ask for. But you know, you're definitely not seeing Black Lives Matter flags out here. I might have to cut that out, but you know what I mean. Like, you know, they're not like the, I don't want to say they, but I think there's definitely like my roommate who's studied here before was like, for one of the first days I met you, she was like, I just want to warn you, like, you will likely experience racism like to your face, or like things will probably happen. Like, she's just straight up told me. I was like, I know, like I'm ready, I'm prepared. I think you would have had me in high school be put in this situation, no, but I think I'm maturing, I'm growing, I'm understanding people have different cultural differences. Not that it excuses any hatred or anything like that, but I think I'm a lot more understanding and not taking it personal or like an attack on me as a person. I know it has less to do with me and probably just more to do with the way that they were growing up and the things that they were taught to believe. All right. So yes, that's kind of the good and the bad. Things I've been doing, obviously I'm in school. Forgot. Yeah, I have to go to class. I'm in school. I have 4 classes that I'm taking. A lot of them are just for fun, to be honest. I'm pretty caught up on my like degree requirements. So just been doing some literature, marketing, sociology, classes like that. So nothing too crazy. One thing that's really, I do really like my professors. One thing that's different from here and there is the, like, if you go to like, I'm sure most schools are like this, but usually you have your lectures and then your discussion section. Our discussion sections are also taught by our professors. So you don't really have like a TA, but it really gives you more time to talk with your professor and do all that stuff, because I feel like you don't really get that opportunity unless you like go to office hours and stuff like that. So they also have office hours as well, but your discussion section is with your professor. You guys do projects, you present, you do stuff like that. You can ask him questions. It's a lot more of a chill setting. Honestly, the education system here is pretty chill. I was really worried going into it because I was told it's very, very academically rigorous. And I haven't felt that quite yet, but I don't want to, let me knock on wood, because I don't want to speak too soon. But I think one thing that I really, really do love, and this goes back to culture and stuff like that, is the idea that they understand that like your value and your worth isn't determined by your grades. So students are a lot more chill. Professors want us to travel. They want us to experience all that Europe has to offer. They want us to go travel in between different parts of Spain and stuff like that. And so they're very accommodating in that sense. They want us to make the most of this experience. They know a lot of us already feeling all the feelings, and they want us to have Spain feel like home. And in order to do that, you actually have to go outside and you actually have to explore Spain and find your favorite Mercadona. I would say that is one thing that I really do appreciate. So I think that will probably be one of the biggest adjustments, is going back to a very academically rigorous and demanding school, in which, hey, yeah, I know my grades don't determine my worth, but they do in some ways help pave the path for my future. So, you know, I'm not too ready for that, but I know I have time here. I think I'm here for like 2 more months. In 2 days, it'll be exactly 2 months. Yeah, I can't believe I've already been here for so long. Like, that's actually kind of crazy to me. I think I have felt homesick in some aspects. I think the biggest thing has been just, I saw something yesterday and I think it like perfectly explained like you living abroad. It was like somebody sitting on top of a mattress that was stacked on like a million mattresses, and all the mattresses had like positive elements of studying abroad. And then the bottom mattress under it was a marble, and it was like the life that your friends and family and people back home are living. And I wouldn't even say it's a, I would say in some aspects it's FOMO, but not in regards to, not in like a selfish aspect. Like, I don't know, like in many ways, the friendships and stuff that I've made here, although they've been amazing, I know that I probably won't see a lot of them for a very long time, if ever again. And so knowing that my friends back home who like know me so well and I know very well and I do think will be a part of my life forever are like living their lives, it's like I wish I was there to witness that, you know, like I was wish I was there. But I think FaceTime has been my best friend. I've been FaceTiming my besties back home, my family, and that's been really good. But I can't lie, I think that aspect of like wishing I was there and experiencing all these different things with them, I think is something that I'll always have. But one thing I am grateful for, although it sucked in times, is one thing that my study abroad advising team had told me when I was back at school before I went was don't go to study abroad with a bunch of friends. That a part of the experience is actually meeting people from different schools, from different countries and stuff like that. And so coming in with your entire friend group, in a sense, it's just a vacation for you, which sounds fine, but that's pretty much your day to day. So it would have been good if that was like the same thing for everybody, if that makes sense. But I know study abroad advisors didn't tell that to everybody. They just did for my school. And I think there's literally like three of us. I only know of one other person here studying abroad, but I think there's three of us. That's all I know. And I don't know any of them. And so, yeah, that's been really interesting. It's been isolating because I think some people from the other universities did come with their big friend groups. And so when you already have your established group that you've known for 2-3 years, if not longer, you're probably not going to let them in. Like, you know, outsiders in. So kind of me and the people who didn't come with their big friend groups have kind of gravitated towards each other. And I think it's been great. And I think everything happens the way that it's supposed to, so I'm grateful for it. I am glad I didn't come with an entire friend group because I think, in a sense, it probably would have made my experiences a little bit less great. And so this whole thing was kind of like jumping into nothing. Like, I didn't know anybody here. I didn't know any of my roommates. It was nothing, and I think everything works out how it's supposed to. So I'm very blessed to be able to have the opportunity to be here. I think not everybody gets to say it, and so it's something that I am very, very, very grateful for. And I hopefully at the end I can reflect, like once I'm actually done and back home, I can truly, truly reflect on what it's been like. But this is where I've been so far. But yeah, I think it's been a learning experience. I think one thing that has been really, really great is learning more about myself. Like I said, sometimes it can be lonely and isolating. And so enjoying your solitude and enjoying your own company and learning about yourself, I think, has been great. I think the biggest thing, and I was texting my friends the other day, and I was like, if the only one thing that has really, I think, strengthened thought since being here is also my faith. And so I've been reading the Bible a lot more. I've been journaling. I've been spending time with God a lot more. And I had said that, I was talking to my friend, I was like, if that's literally the only reason why I was here, is that I needed to just physically be, you know, put across the country and free from distractions for a little bit to just, you know, grow that, then I think my trip here was worth it. You know, I do know that there's more inside of this. And I do know that that's not the only reason why I'm here, but that for me, I know that that'll be like a highlight, if anything. So yes, that has been what I've been up to. Study abroad, I've been doing a lot of walking. My calves are always on fire. I walk so much here, but I love it. I love it. I am like, I'm going to need to figure out a walking path when I get back home, because I would walk to and fro classes sometimes if I didn't want to take the bus. But I'm like, this doesn't hit the same. Like, I'm walking through a city or like a little town. I'm like seeing, you know, the guy that feeds the birds every morning at 8:30. I'm seeing them pull the meat out the truck in the morning. I'm seeing the same kids. I'm like, this routine is going to be, I'm going to need to bring that some ways back home. So that's one thing that I think has been really, really good. All right. So this is going to be the version of me that I'm letting go. A lot of the stuff that I'm going to talk about is kind of stuff that was mentioned slightly, but I do want to emphasize. So the becoming era, right? We're stepping into who we want to be. And the funny thing about this era will always continue. I don't think we'll ever get to a point in that will be like, I'm okay with staying exactly where I'm at. And I mean, I think we can always evolve. We can always be getting better. I don't think that anybody is perfect in any regards, only Jesus. I think that we all could learn something and grow and become better versions of ourselves. So the becoming era will never end, right? We're always going to be becoming the person that we want. But this is just me being practical with the things that I want to be. So I had said this earlier in terms of grades. So these are habits that I'm setting up, some of which I've learned through being in Spain and some of the things I've been working on for a little bit, but not attaching my identity and my worth in things, right? This can mean literally anything. I think my worth isn't how many friends I have. It's not the grades that I have. It's not the amount of Instagram followers that I have. It's not the amount of listens we get on the podcast. I think that all of us are worthy of so, so much. I think we all are so valuable and have so much to offer the world. And it's something that I didn't always believe forever. Like, for the longest time, I didn't always think that I was worth a lot, that I had, you know, a lot of value. And just learning that the reason why I felt like that in many ways was because I would be attaching my worth to things that didn't matter. I'd be attaching my worth to school, my grades. I'd be attaching my worth to the attention I was getting, all these different things. When in reality, no, your worth and how all of that's already set, right? Like, I don't think there's anything that you could do that would make you, that would diminish your worth, right? I think one thing that culture and stuff tries to do all the time is shame and essentially make you feel like you're worthless or that you're less than. And I think we need to reject that. No, I don't think that you, because of mistakes that you've made, decisions that you've made, that I don't think that makes you any less worthy of a person, less worthy of respect, less worthy of connection with other people. We're all going to make mistakes in our lives. We're all going to do things that we regret, probably going to say things that we regret. But at the end of the day, what matters more than anything is being confident in who you are as a person, taking accountability for your actions, taking accountability for the things that you may have said, and understanding that you're not any less valuable because of the mistakes that you've made or the decisions that you've made. And so that's one thing I'm really trying to hone in, right? Also, things are going to fade, right? I think if you put your worth in relationships, unfortunately, there's a chance that could go away. And so if your identity, all that is like in a person, that probably won't end well. Because when they go, you're going to feel like you've gone, that you've lost your sense of self. That's why I think oftentimes people, when a big life change happens, such as like a job change, which could be big, could be small, or changing schools, you feel like you're in many ways gone. Your sense of self is gone. You have to go through this rediscovery process because in many ways your identity was in something that was temporary. You felt like your worth came from your ability to perform, when in reality, it didn't. You inherently have worth because you are you. You and yourself and who you are right now is valuable. One thing, and I've been thinking about this, this is one thing that my dad said years ago. I don't know if he remembers this. We were in the car, and I remember exactly where we were when this happened, because I remember I was trying not to cry. And I think it was like either right before I left for college, or it was right at the end of high school. Okay, we're driving in the car, and there was this really, really nice car. And I was like, wow, like, that's a beautiful car. And my dad was like, yeah, you know. And my dad's like picky in many ways, food-wise, you know, clothes, stuff like that. Usually you'll hear, it's nice out of him, but he was like, yeah, the car's nice. And I'm like, okay, yeah, he likes it. And I was like, that car's worth like more than my entire life. That car's worth more than me. And my dad, like, he kind of stopped. And he was like, don't say that. And I was like, what? He's like, no, that car is not worth more than you. And he was like, there's nothing on, not me about to cry. Can you tell I miss my dad? He's like, there's nothing on this there's no physical objects or something on this. Essentially, it was something along the lines of like, your worth can't be defined by a physical object. Like, just because something is worth a lot, like financially, does not mean that you are any less than. And I know I said it as a joke, but in reality, I think I needed to hear that, is like understanding that like, you're priceless. Like, there's no. And I think that just, I was trying not to cry in the car, you didn't see, but I was like, wow, like, I needed to hear that. He's like, you're worth more than all of that. And he's like, I don't know anybody who knows what dowry is, but like, dowry will be like 100 cows. And it's like, no, there's not enough. There's no amount of money in the world that'll ever replace your existence. And to me, that was just like, whoa, I need to hear that. Because also I feel like I've talked about how like, we don't have like the most affectionate family in some ways, but like, that was something that I needed to hear, and that was something that I didn't really hear that often. And so that really kind of just whipped me back into shape. Like, how dare you question your worth and your value? You are so, so valuable. And I just want to remind anybody in here about that, that you are so valuable. I'm sorry, that was a really long tangent, but I think it's important. All right, so doing things that I'm scared of. I've done a lot of things here that I'm scared of. I've, you know, done things alone. I've gone into stores knowing that I need to speak Spanish, which sounds like you're dramatic, but I think I have a lot of, especially when I'm with Spanish speakers, like not Spanish native speakers, but people like who learn Spanish growing up, I think I'm more nervous than somebody who's been speaking Spanish their whole life, because I think they're a lot more critical. I don't know how to explain it. So I'll like walk into the store with my friend and I know she knows Spanish very well. Like I like freeze. But there's been plenty of times in which I've gone to the store by myself. I've gone to a restaurant by myself and I've been completely fine. I've been able to communicate with the like staff and stuff like that. And so that's been great. But I'm doing things that I'm scared of. I wasn't really scared of this, but this was something that I was like, okay, this is really weird. I have rode, which sounds very simple, okay? But I'm from San Diego. Public transportation isn't the biggest thing there, okay? The public transport system isn't as, you know, advanced. So I haven't really, like, rode anything like that. And so we have the metro here and then we have the trains. I've rode the metro and the trains across the city. And literally takes like an hour. The other day I was on the train for like an hour and a half. I'm doing a bunch of things. It's like, that's so random. I pretty much went on a solo trip. Well, I didn't go with it. It was on a solo trip. It was, there was other people there, but it was like, we didn't do everything together, if that makes sense. So there was definitely times where I was by myself. Just as we explored and stuff like that. And so that was cool. I've gone shopping by myself, which has been good. I am not one that likes shopping, especially when I'm with other people. I think the dressing rooms make me anxious. So having that time to just sit with myself and, you know, getting on myself, I think is very helpful. So I did have done that. I've been going to parks. I've been writing so much and that has brought me so much joy, which I'm not scared of writing, but I don't know, scared of writing in public? Maybe. Maybe just a little bit. I think also here, like I was kind of scared of coming here. I didn't know what to expect and I did it, and I'm proud of myself for stepping out and taking a chance on myself, and I think so far it's been pretty good. Another thing, not caring about being cool. I don't know who needs to hear this, but it literally doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I don't want to talk about these people because there's just essentially a group of people who, it was just giving high school. Like, I don't know how else to explain it. It was giving high school. This is while I'm currently here. And I just wasn't about that. I could so easily just pretend to be somebody that I'm not to try and fit into this group so I'm not alone. But then I realized that's going to be so exhausting. So I realized I don't care about being cool. I don't care about looking cool. I went to a concert the other day. And I was ready to cry. I was laughing. I was dancing. And I really didn't care about if I look stupid. I've come to a point in which I'm just like, how exhausting must it be to put on a facade every single day? I'm just going to be me. And I know I'm not the coolest person in the world. I know that. But I'm stepping out and I'm trying and I'm doing things that make me happy. And I'm enjoying my own company and I'm doing all these different things. I don't care about looking cool. I don't care if I'm reading a book on the train. And you're like, oh my gosh, you're a nerd. I don't care. And you wouldn't know that because I'm listening to the audiobook. Mm-hmm. Anyways, but yeah, if I wanted to go buy a paperback book and read it on the train and being afraid that the high schoolers are going to bully me. Guys, high schoolers are scary. School age children, it's actually a universal thing. It's not just like when I walk past like a middle schooler or a high schooler like at the mall. No, it's everywhere. It's not just just a U.S. thing. It is everywhere. So I don't know if that gives you hope or makes you a little bit more nervous, but yes. Another thing I'm trying to do is doing things without needing validation from other people. This is big, okay? I would come to a point where it's like I wouldn't even be able to decide what I wanted to eat, right? Which sounds very like, okay, that's not that big of a deal, but it is. I think if I cannot make simple decisions for myself, what are you doing? Why? I can't trust myself with small decisions. Do I think I'm going to be able to trust myself with big decisions? And the thing is, it's usually the other way around. I'm pretty good at trusting myself with like big decisions, right? But when it comes to small things, should I get this shirt? Should I get this jacket? Should I do this? Should I do that? Just do what makes you happy. I need to stop seeking validation for other people. A big, big thing is like social media. Especially now, I think I'm getting better about it. I've just been posting stuff that make me smile. I've been posting on my Instagram a lot more. I know I said that I was going to post and like turn off the comments and archive and re-archive just because I want it for me, and I have been doing that and I'm happy about that, and it's so freeing in a way to not have to send your 60 selfies to your friend that'll look exactly the same and ask her which ones you should post. So freeing, right? So not really needing validation from other people. I would say in one way that it kind of in a sense is seeking validation, but I don't know if it's validation. Yeah, it is kind of validation. Is one thing I have been doing is if there's a situation that I just, not that I don't trust my intuition or myself, but there's a situation where it's like, I just want somebody to confirm that hey, am I overreacting? And they're like, no. In a sense, yeah, that's something that I have been doing. But I think one thing is like, I would be quick to overreact. I'd be quick to jump, right? So obviously I think the next step is like not needing another person to be like, you're fine. No, your feelings are valid, and kind of doing that myself. And so that's something that I'm working on. But I think I have been in some instances, if the situation's like pretty serious, then I have been being like, do you think this is something, versus being hyper independent and not letting anybody in or not seeking any help from anybody and stuff like that. So that's been good. One thing that I'm getting better at, I would say, is like texting people. Obviously, when you're physically apart from people, texting people becomes one of your main forms of communication, texting and calling. And so I've been able to connect with old friends who I miss dearly. And it just makes you miss everything a lot more, but I think it makes you be a lot more intentional. So I'm a lot more intentional in my communication and when I'm talking to people and all that stuff. And so that's one thing that's been really, really great. Yes. So I'm setting myself up for success, guys. So these next two go hand in hand. One thing that I think is very important is words. I've been realizing a lot more than anything that like some of the stuff that I'm consuming, music, stuff like that, can be very toxic for me, right? I had to go into my Spotify and remove explicit content completely because I think it's just become a lot more prevalent. That's why I needed to make the step to just make sure that I actually like follow through. Words have so much power, right? You've probably heard Proverbs 18:21, the power of life and death is in the tongue. And I think obviously we know what that means, that your words have power over people. Your words have power over yourself. And I think listening to other people's words definitely in many ways affects you. Obviously, we know that. And I really just realized that I don't want my music yelling at me. I don't want to be called bad words. I don't even know. And I think because the bad words are gone, I've actually like focused a little bit more on like what the song's actually saying. And there are some songs that I'm like, they're not even cussing in this, and I feel like I still can't listen to it. So I'm kind of going through my journey with music. You know, I'm a big music fan. I listen to everything. But that's been something that I've been really intentional with, is like, what am I consuming, especially first thing in the morning? So I've been really tracking my music. Like I said, I'm listening to classics. I'm listening to jazz. I'm listening to worship. I'm listening to, you know, pop. I'm still listening to R&B and rap. But yeah, that is kind of what I've been thinking about. And so kind of just watching my language, I literally didn't cuss in high school. It wasn't until I think it was like senior or junior years when I started cussing, and I was like, ooh, it's not cute. And at least it's not, I don't like it for me, right? I don't think it matches like my character and stuff like that. So I've been trying not to cuss, and I think I'm doing really great. I'm working on it, and I don't drop F-bombs every 2 seconds. I want to preface it by saying I'm not like a very bad cursor. I don't cuss like that, okay? It's like occasional, right? So I've been trying not to say it at all. And when I do, I've been correcting myself, right? It's okay to correct yourself. I was with my friend. I think I said something. And then I was like, I mean, and I like filled it with a not curse word. And she's like, oh, are you trying not to cuss? I was like, yeah. And she's like, oh, okay, why? People have been asking me that. And I'm like, I don't know, because I think your words have power, and I'm tired of being mean to myself and other people. And that's where I was going to lead to the very last thing that I'm working on right now. It's how I'm speaking to myself. I think it's so, so easy to be so critical of yourself. I think when I started realizing how mean I could be to myself, I also started realizing how mean other people are to themselves. I think one thing that's really broke my heart is hearing people talk bad about themselves. And I'm like, I just can't do it. I'm like, no, you're not a failure. Like, you just made a mistake. Like, I don't know. It's stuff like that. I know it sounds corny, but I think our words hold so much weight on us. I think shame is one of the biggest things that keep a lot of people down and put us in these like dark places and stuff like that. But I think understanding that what you are speaking actually has weight over your life and over your mind. You know the Rice test. I don't know if you do, but go look at that if you don't. The Rice, when they would positive affirmate. I don't even know, actually. But I think I do know what I'm talking about. But the Rice thing. Your words have power. Speak kindly to yourself. You are the only version of yourself that you get. Evolve in sense of your mindsets and stuff like that. But you just have you. You will be with yourself for the rest of your life. And I think you should learn to love yourself. And part of that starts with the way that you speak to yourself, about yourself, and how you speak to other people, because I think that's one of the greatest things that you can do in life. Okay, so those are just some things that I'm working on currently. Those are some things that I've learned within the past couple of weeks, months, whatever the case is, and I want it to be a part of my daily basis. So watching my speech, watching how I'm speaking to other people, how I'm speaking about myself, and I just want to be a kind person. I want to be someone that's filled with joy even when things aren't the greatest. That's something that people used to say about me. Even when things weren't the greatest, I still was filled with a lot of joy, and I want to get back to that place. I do still think that I am joyful in many regards, but I think there's so much to be grateful for. And yeah, so. All right. So to end off this week's episode, we're going to end with a little question from We're Not Really Strangers. And I want to encourage you guys to answer the question in the DMs or down below. There'll be a prompt on the Instagram the days after the podcast is launched with the We're Not Really Strangers questions, and I want to hear your response. Let's see, what's the first one? What's been your favorite age so far? I would say 2016, where I think I was 12. Yeah, I don't remember much, but I do remember that 2016 was a blast. Okay, it was when the world, I'm kidding. I like myself now. I would say that 20 has been a very eye-opening and pivotal year for me. I think I'm always going to love the current year that I'm in, because to be honest, in many ways, I've forgotten the other years. I was either going to say 12, so 2016, 20, so this year, or 5, because I remember I got great presents for Christmas and I got a bike for my 5th birthday. So that's what I would say. So what has been your favorite year so far? Go ahead and comment down below. Respond on the Instagram stories. I want to read your responses. What has been your favorite year so far? So this will be the question of the episode. But yeah. All right. I know this episode felt like a lot for the first episode, but I just want to say thank you guys so much for joining me on this episode of Remixed Reality Podcast. It's been an absolute pleasure. If you're new here, thank you so much for listening to this podcast, and I can't wait to hopefully connect with you via Instagram, and I will see you guys in the next episode.